Hello there, and welcome back to the Natalie and
Dennis
Show podcast. Yes, we got it, guys. Happy Friday and welcome back. We are so excited for today's podcast episode. And I don't even know what we're talking about, to be honest.
How was your weekend, Natalie?
How was my weekend? I feel like it just flew by.
Like a snap.
But it was amazing. Literally yesterday, all I did was I read, I wrote, and I watched YouTube videos, and that's it. And it
was all day.
That's all I did all day. You saw me. You were like, you look the exact, because Dennis goes to soccer every Sunday. And I said goodbye to him in my PJs, and then I greeted him in my PJs.
So tell me how I went to soccer, and then like an hour later, I got a little notification. Oh, Amazon packages dropped off. I come back home at like 5 o'clock, and the packages are still at the door.
Oops.
That means you didn't even step out of the house at all.
I didn't do anything. And you know what? It made me realize I truly am a homebody, and you truly have to like get me out. For example, this week, I actually have a meeting with a friend. Mm-hmm. We're having dinner. And I'm not going to lie, I'm like kind of dreading it. I know once I'm there, I'm going to love it. But it's the act of, geez, I have to get in my car. I have to go there. I have to drive. I have to do this, blah, blah. And she knows I'm kind of, I don't like to drive. I don't know if you guys know that about me, but I don't really like to drive. And she was like, hey, is the location okay? Because I know you've mentioned you don't really enjoy, you know, going by yourself or whatever. But I'm going.
How did you make that friend?
She actually was my financial advisor.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But she was so sweet that we just kept up with each other. And she's amazing. So, and then she hosts like all these little parties every once in a while. Like she's the kind of friend that actually does things for like Valentine's or just for things. I think that's so awesome.
Do you think being a good friend is a trait that some people have? And is it like something that you can kind of build up and learn?
I think so, because if I'm being totally vulnerable with you, I feel like I'm not a great friend.
In terms of what?
In terms of follow-up, remembering people's birthdays, just like making somebody feel special, right? So for example, my friend Jennifer, she is always there for me.
Mm.
Always there for me, you know? Or maybe I'm comparing myself to the way that she is with me. I just feel like I lack being a good friend.
I just know that Jennifer always remembers your birthday.
That's the thing.
My birthday, everybody's birthday.
Everything. She will remember the smallest of things. Like, let's say I'm nervous to like fly or do something. She will text me the morning of and just affirm me and be there the whole time. Like, you don't get a lot of friends like that.
Hmm.
She's that friend, you know? Damn.
But would you say you've had a lot of friends in your life, or is it something that, okay, you know?
I think the vulnerability that I was just saying that stems from me not being a great friend comes from the fact that I had the best friends from first to fifth grade in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Before I moved here. We'd have sleepovers. We like all the things, right? That make a great friendship. You went through all the highs, all the lows. And I feel like those friends really just knew you as your purest self. Then when I got to middle school and high school and college and all the rest, you almost start to change, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I've had friends like them since.
Okay.
You know, it's just such a different form of friendship, which is interesting because I feel like you are on the opposite side. You only have one friend.
Mm-hmm. I only have one friend.
Which reminds me of the movie we were watching yesterday, I Love You, Man.
Yeah.
Where basically the premise is that the guy's getting married and all of his fiance's girlfriends are like, it's kind of weird that your guy doesn't really have friends. So he feels uncomfortable by that and he goes out of his way to try and meet men,
yeah,
as friends. And some guys get the wrong idea, like that he's gay. Other guys just aren't interested or think he's kind of
weird.
Like whack.
Yeah.
And he tries to sort of have like this brohood with the guys, like by drinking or doing this stuff, and then he ends up like throwing up on one of them. It's just this whole thing. But anyways, I say that because I was watching the movie and it reminded me of you.
That's great. How?
Well, how? Because you only ever really had one friend. Well, no, actually, I think that's the thing. See, our stories parallel in the sense that you moved here from Rhode Island. You, mm-hmm, had a whole friendship group up until you moved, which you were 16.
Yeah.
So then your life changed. Then it became almost like me, where it was hard to make friends.
Yes.
And I don't think I could ever have friends like the ones I had before.
I think when you're really young, friendships only form because of circumstance. Like they are,
you're
you
in
know,
school, your parents in school. Know each
them. Yes. It's kind of forced, like forced and not forced. You're not forced to be friends with people, but you're forced to be around them for a long period of time throughout the day, every day. So then you start to create your group. But then like, if you leave, like, are those friends the type that would reach out through? And at the same time, social media wasn't very big back then. That's like, it was so just true. MySpace. So for them to reach out, they would have to either text me, call me, or reach out through MySpace. And direct messaging through MySpace wasn't even like that big of a thing either.
Your top six on MySpace.
So yes, I abandoned, quote unquote, my friends.
Your friends. But then sometimes you actually find them on Facebook and you're like, oh my God, this dude has like six kids, or this person is. That's such a weird feeling. Wait, you have nailed it, actually. We sort of were that generation where like pre-elementary, even I would say somewhat middle school, our friends or those people or acquaintances weren't on social media. Therefore, all of a sudden when we're on Facebook, we get a little shocked, right? Like starstruck.
So. I remember the first time I ever heard about Facebook was I was a sophomore and I was walking
in college.
High school, sophomore in high school. So I was walking to my class and one of my friends was like, hey, have you signed up for Facebook? And I was like, hey, what is Facebook? And then he was like, oh no, it's this thing that only college students can use. You have to have a .edu email because it's only for college students.
Wasn't it used for something else though?
Well, it was for rating people's looks women, and stuff like that. I think it was. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, no, like that's never going to beat MySpace. You know, that's kind of how you have it in your mind. Cause MySpace was such a pillar for like so long.
That's how I felt about YouTube and TikTok. I remember when people were showing us, and that was so naive because it just goes to show you either adapt or you die in marketing. And I remember people saying, no, this is the future. People are going to start watching videos vertically. And I just couldn't imagine it.
Going back to the movie that you mentioned, the I Love You Man. Mm-hmm. Yes, I feel like I've actually had better relationships with women in like an understanding than with men.
I think that's so interesting because I recall we always get like a group of interns, or whenever we hire someone, we tend to only work with women. Now that I think about it, we've had a few guys, like I can think of three off the top of my, actually a few, but editors like in-house three. Yeah. And because I remember last time you were like, okay, let's just make sure whoever comes through the door is our girls moving forward. And I was like, what? Like, I think that's an interesting concept that you feel that you also work better with women.
Yeah, I do.
But I think it's important to bring men too, because it creates diversity, but that's another topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like, let's say for example, New Year's or Christmas reunions, I always end up finding myself
talking to
like las tías or like the women or whatever.
That's so interesting.
You and like your cousins, and I'll be like just there. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go like walk over to the bros and like they're all like drinking and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't drink, first of all. So I'm like there. No one offers me anything at this point anymore because everybody knows that I don't drink. Mm-hmm. And like,
but you feel sort of left out.
Like
it's hard for you to find common ground.
Well, first of all, they're all family. That's all true. Your family. Yeah. So they're all much closer to each other than me, even though I've been with you guys for over 10 years.
I could see that.
Like, I don't feel like, I don't know. Also topics. There's a lot of topics I don't care for.
That's why you reminded me of the movie, because the guys would, I don't know, talk about dumb shit. And you were like, I kind of get that. Like, I can't really relate to that. So it's just different sorts of, you know.
Yeah. I've actually, you know, surprisingly, I feel like I've built better friendships online than in person.
Mm.
And that's like another layer of like friendship. Like, what defines friendship? It doesn't have to be a physical kind of thing, or can it be an online thing? Mm-hmm. You know?
No, you know what I was just thinking of?
Go ahead.
Because it reminded me of the movie and like that bromance sort of thing. We went to a wedding in Chicago and the groomsman was with all his dudes, right? All his friends. Mm-hmm. And they were just kind of going around asking each other questions and like, all this stuff, right? I remember they invited you over. And I remember they were like, okay, Dennis, we need your opinion on this.
I know what's coming up.
What's the first thing you saw when you saw Natalie.
What was the thing that you saw on in Natalie?
Yeah.
That you liked.
And that said, like you caught your attention.
I was like, I really liked her face.
Yeah.
Like her face was the thing. And they're like, bro, it's not her like boobs or her ass.
Like, yeah. They were all face. Like, it's definitely. So then they asked Carlos and they were, oh my gosh, Carlos. Anyways. And Carlos was like, of course I saw Daniela's ass. Like that was the first thing. So I guess just to kind of give some perspective in.
Yeah.
But you know what? I do think the person who you're really good friends with, Juan, mm-hmm. he's very similar to you in many ways.
Yes.
He doesn't drink.
I don't know about it anymore.
Oh, I feel like you're right.
Circumstances have forced him to like adapt.
But
to
still,
new
I feel like you can still be friends with people who are different than you.
Yeah, no, you totally. Know? I mean, it's better to be friends with people who have different perspectives in life things just because you get to experience something like not have to actively go through that. But mm-hmm. like they tell you about it. And so you learn.
Do you actually believe that?
I mean, it's good to be open to other things. You know, yeah. I think friendships is a way to experience, like, okay, let's say you have a friend who's an architect and they're going through some troubles. They can like explain it to you and you're like, oh, so that's the typical thing that architects deal with. And you start to kind of learn through friendships.
No, right? I agree. I think that's a really good way of thinking of life. But because I was watching one of the guys that goes to my gym, he's a trainer. And he was saying, here are like five or three things that are a little unhinged that people don't I don't remember what the topic was. Mm-hmm. Sorry. But he was basically saying how he thinks it's immature when others are. Oh, God, I hate when I can't say it exactly what I'm thinking. Okay, here's what it was. Ready?
Yeah.
So he was saying, here are three things I don't do as a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
He put. I can respectfully disagree without disrespecting you. I'm too grown to be name calling over debate. Can we either move forward or move on? Now, I think I remember seeing that and I was like, I totally agree with him 100%. However, I don't think people now, especially on social media, are like that. I almost feel, and I think this goes into cancel culture, where if somebody doesn't align with, it could be your beliefs. People are immediately cutting them out. Mm-hmm. So don't you think that kind of like, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing to respectfully disagree without disrespecting others?
I mean,
or is that a whole separate?
There's no way that you can completely agree with another person fully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might agree 90% of the time with you, but there's disagreements between you and me and we're still friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it would kind of be boring to know someone who you agree with all the time.
Mm.
I feel like it's important.
Okay,
to be
but
challenged.
I'm thinking about somebody. Let's not say their name, but you will get it once we talk about this.
Okay.
I'm thinking about the person who was speaking on not giving their kids candy. And
okay. I know who you're talking about now.
And I remember that person's viewpoints started to, you're kind of like, I didn't know that person went like that.
Yeah.
And you started sort of like creating a judgment off of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to now alienate you from talking to that person next time? Okay. I just wanted to know.
No.
Cool.
I'm not a confrontational person. I tend to say, I can see where you're coming from with that. Or cool. Or yeah.
Exactly. I think that's healthy for us to be like that. I don't think society is like that currently though.
Like if someone whips out some wacko conspiracy, it's hard for me to argue in the moment because changing someone's perspective is kind of hard to do in the moment.
They always say you can never change a person's perspective on the spot. Yeah. They are going in the way that they're thinking. You can plant a seed, but that person has to ponder. So there's no need for you to really push them to change their point of view because they're strong on it. If it's not ego, that's just like the way that they feel. I guess I'm just debating that one a little bit.
Mm.
But anyways, back to friendships.
I did want to mention, I had a friend that I never knew or met in person who was a completely online friendship. It was through Xbox.
Really?
I was like 15 or 16 and I stumbled upon this kid when we were playing Halo. And so back then you would create friendships with people online. Kind of like MSN, how people would message in chat groups and just become friends.
Yeah, I get
it. You would know someone's username or whatever, and you would expect them to sign on every day or like be there. And so that was kind of like this friendship that I built with this kid. I think he was from for like Virginia or something. Anyways, same time every day we'd play Halo and we built a friendship. And then we probably played together for 4 years and then never signed on again. And then
he never signed on?
No. And gone, like just dipped, just completely disappeared.
So do you feel like he died or something?
Potentially, maybe.
That's sad.
Yeah, you have to kind of deal with like online deaths and
online
stuff.
Online deaths are going to be an interesting one for sure. Yeah. Okay, this got morbid real quick. Real quick.
I mean, there's so many levels of friendships, right? There's in person, which recently has become harder and harder to create, I feel, because of scheduling, age, you know, just life in general.
Yeah, I'd like to throw over the question to the girlies.
Sure.
Do you guys feel like you are somebody who has a lot of friends, or are you currently struggling to make friends? How do you guys feel?
Angela?
I think right now I have like my set friend group. Mm-hmm. So I've been like pretty firm on, not firm, but like I've been like pretty set with like hanging out with them consistently.
That's so nice.
But I have noticed that like, cause I went a while without like having like a set friend group. Mm-hmm. And before I did, I was a lot more open to like putting myself out there into like new experiences. But now that like, I know like, okay, I have like these like four people that I like to hang out with, these five people mm-hmm. I like to hang out with, I kind of stopped putting myself out there.
Like it just feels like home.
Exactly. Like it's I feel hard. Exactly. Like I feel comfortable with them. Like I know like if I want to go out in the weekend, if I want to go out and I want to study, like anything I want to do.
Those are the best types of friends.
Yeah. Like I know I have them there, but I have like my like core group. Mm-hmm. That I
are they all with. Friends with each other too?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you all introduce or find each other?
Because we're all Dominican.
Oh. Love it. The Dominican. Do you guys get out in like a dance?
Yes, we do.
I love it.
That's great.
If we're in a restaurant, if we're in anywhere that they're playing any type of like bachata, any Spanish music, we're dancing.
So I do think that that's an interesting one because I think that commonalities connects us.
100%. Mm-hmm.
Like I remember my first friend ever. We connected because she spoke Spanish. Mm-hmm. And she became my friend for 5 years, mm-hmm. like all of elementary school.
She's Bolivian, I think you mentioned.
Mexican. Paula. And then the other one was Bolivian. Yeah, yeah. I just think that's interesting. So I almost wonder if it's harder for us to make friends with people that don't look like us or, you know.
Mm-hmm. I saw a TikTok of these two girls who got in trouble for speaking Spanish in class.
Really?
They were the only two people in the whole class who could speak Spanish and they got in trouble from the teacher. She said they can't talk Spanish anymore.
Oh my God. That is harsh in this time and age.
Anyways, friends, Haley.
What was the question?
Do you have friends?
Do you have friends?
Yeah, well, right now I just moved here, so it's been...
That's a cool perspective.
It's been complicated, but not as much, actually. I started to post TikToks, and through TikTok I have met a lot of new people, so that has been fun. But for me, friendships always have been a difficult thing because I've been moving constantly throughout all my life. Like I've lived in a place like 4 years, I think. Like I've been moving constantly since I was a kid, so it's been really complicated because it's really like the friendships that I made in college, they're more easy to keep in touch because we're older, but like the friendships that I made like in elementary school and then I had to move mm-hmm. and like leave them behind, and in that moment like it was difficult like as a kid to maintain contact with someone. Mm-hmm. So for me, like I think now that I'm an adult, I've been able to have like better friendships and maintain them, but before it was just so complicated, and it was even like kind of sad because I always had to say goodbye to my friends, and but now I think I'm getting used to it, and also I think it has helped me to be like a super adaptable person. So right now I'm currently like meeting new people, and yep.
I'm so proud of you, Franceli. First of all, that sounded like a Miss Universe answer in the sense of, no, you know what? Because I was thinking about how, first of all, it is very difficult when you move constantly, right? But two, I feel like you put yourself out there a lot. You're constantly going out. You're constantly like seeking that. So that's something to be really proud of, because I'm not like that. So I think that's where I struggle. It's like, sure, I want that friendship group, but I'm not even trying, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really complicated, because it's even happening to me right now that I have a really close friend right now, and we bonded because she's Mexican. And I feel like super comfortable with that friendship, that I haven't met a lot of people in a long time. And I'm kind of forcing myself again to, like, I'm meeting new girls, like, from TikTok, and we're trying to hang out, but I'm like, oh my God.
All right, Franceli, so you kind of brought up the fact that you met all these friends through TikTok. I'm kind of scared. Like, I don't know if I'd ever meet someone from online in person. Having a rendezvous like that, like, maybe she messages in a video that I post online, and then what, like, DMing starts? Like, so. How does that even begin?
I think it's past our time, honey.
I think it's actually, like, a super new thing, because my best friend, she's telling me, like, I think it's more common now. I would never thought of it before. What I do, I, of course, take into account that, like, my safety. So I always, like, talk first through TikTok, not much, and then we ask for our Insta. And I think Instagram is a little bit more, like, also, I think when you go to their TikTok and you see videos of them, actually, like, you can tell, like, oh, she's a real person.
That's so
and
true.
And then, like, Instagram gives you, like, another layer of, like, trust. And then sometimes I ask for their number, and then we set it up, basically. But, yeah, it's kind of, like, it's new. And but, yeah, that's basically,
I think it's more normal.
Really?
Yeah, I think it is.
But the fact that she had to be active on TikTok, that Franceli had to kind of, like, check her profile, make sure she, like, wasn't like a bot or anything, was like actively posting, and then reference Instagram to make sure she was a real person. I think something similar recently for us was our book event. We had a couple of our, like, affiliates or, like, super fans kind of go, and just putting a name, face to a physical person was also interesting. And also, like, just the fact that, you know, some people that we invited aren't content creators. Like, they're just, like, the username, right? And although I'm assuming you did your homework and checked before inviting and all these things, and, like, they've been active in the community. I don't know. There is, like, safety checks in between that need to be done.
I agree.
To, like, make sure that this person's, like, okay, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm trying to think about, I guess, for some reason, I got a little sidetracked, and I started thinking about how all my friends are old. That's what I really realized. And it's not that I don't have friends. I don't have friends my age.
That is true.
That's what I realized. And that's what I'm trying to think and decipher right now. I almost feel like I need a journaling session on why that is. Or I guess I do yearn for people my age that I can relate to, because, for example, I'll go to, like, these Bible study groups with women over, like, 70, and their issues are that their husbands are passing. I can't relate to that
at all. Yes,
but I can sympathize, and I can, you know, it's, yeah, I know.
I'm safe. Yeah. I'm okay.
And I recognize that when I try to share my issues, it just doesn't equate. And I'm almost like, geez, I shouldn't really share this, because it just doesn't feel, but still I feel at home with them. Yeah, I guess I'm trying to think about, you know what it is? I think I realize what it is.
Okay.
I think I realize that a lot of my friends now have kids. So I feel that I can't relate to them no matter how hard I try. And it's also so hard to go out with people who have kids.
It's so hard.
There's so many logistics, you know, their nanny, somebody has to take care of their kid. And so I think that's why I haven't seen my friends who are, like, in my age group, because it's really hard. It's impossible.
If you haven't spoken to someone in a long time, I'm talking long time, at what point are they not a friend anymore? Or do they continue to be friends once they were labeled such?
Yeah, I don't think, I'm not that kind of person that's like, oh, you're not my friend. I don't know. I'm not like that. Like, I know who my friends were. I feel like it's just the kind of people you reconnect with, and you go out to lunch, and it's just like nothing's changed.
Okay, what does it take for someone to be labeled as a friend for you versus acquaintance?
Somebody who I can, no, you know what? I don't, because I consider it like, I consider the interns my friends, even though maybe they're not really. You're right. I guess what is the real definition for me of friendship is somebody that you can open up to and be like your real self. But I do think there's work distinguishments. No, so I think that's why totally. I can't get there.
I just feel like, okay, there's different levels within friendship. So,
or is it that complicated? Maybe we're complicating it. And that's why we have no friends, guys.
I would agree.
Tell us, girls.
I would agree that the friendship.
They're watching us and they're like, this ain't that deep, guys.
I would agree that we have friendship with the interns. It's not the type of friendship that we would invite them after to like here to just hang out.
Okay. Yeah. You know? It's a different type.
I think it's a bit more of a professional friendship.
Totally. Yeah.
And then there's like a friendship, like I play with my friends online and you go and like you hang out and have like dinner dates like this, like Karen or our financial advisor. It's just like
different. Or I'll call Liza. It's different.
Yeah. It's just different types of things that you would do with different types of friends and different groups and communities, I guess. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so hung up on the fact that Francelli made friends through TikTok. I can't get past that. It's crazy.
But people date like that too now.
I know. And I never was on Tinder, Hinge, all those dating apps and all these things, never experienced that. I feel like mentally I'm still trapped at a point where I cannot connect online usernames, people's personas with like actual people. And even emailing, and this is like the thing, emailing, I send emails. I feel like it's all digital. I don't feel like it's like a, I get that there's an actual person there.
I was thinking about, because it gets stranger is when you start connecting with people from different places. Mm-hmm. For example, I remember from our manufacturer, you chat with them through WeChat and they sent you back an emoji, but it had like a little rose in it.
They send me emojis that we don't use in the US.
And Dennis was like, this is so interesting, you know?
Yeah, their communication is just so different.
The communication style is different. Or even like Colombia, WhatsApp is huge.
Yeah, WhatsApp is huge everywhere but here.
I love it. It's the best.
I can't get over how David and Christian voice message everyone.
That's the Colombian thing. That's what I'm saying. Or maybe it's a Latin thing.
It is a Latin thing.
It's such a Latin thing.
I do it a lot, but like, for example, my best friend, she hates it. So it's awful.
Because like, the point, girl. That's the part, right?
Yeah, that's why she doesn't like it. But I love to, because it's a way, like, I have a friend that I send voice notes to her every day in the morning when I walk Mila. So I give her an update of my life and it's like 5 minutes long.
Oh, hell no. And she sends, don't put me up to that homework. Are you serious?
And she sends me one too. And it's like, it's such a fun way to do it.
Why not just call each other? I'm curious.
Because we don't have the time. Like, for example, like when I walk Mila, it's like her 6 a.m. So it doesn't make sense. And then maybe she's working when I'm out of work. So it doesn't make sense. And I think a call takes more time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's hilarious. It's so much
more convenient too.
Yeah.
Because I think like when I'm getting ready for my day, like I can just do a voice memo as I'm going. Mm-hmm. So I can like, if it's like, okay, I haven't spoken to her about this, 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 and this, and this, I can just do it like as I'm going on. Like, but if we're calling, then we have to set up. Yeah. We have to find our availability, but 5 minutes, if you can handle five minutes.
I've listened to seven.
I've
sent longer.
You guys, I can't believe this.
No, but I have something to say. In WhatsApp, you can put it like in 2x, speed it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, through iMessage, you can do that. That's why I hate it. Like, you can do anything, but like through WhatsApp, you can put it 2x. So it's like 5 minutes, only 2 minutes, you know?
So, okay, I've only had one friend. I do think it's an age thing, guys. But I'd be curious to ask the comments if you guys do voice notes and how old you are, because I do think it's an age thing. Because my friends who are now in their 30s, I had one friend do that to me, but it was like this. Hey, girl, how's it going? Oh, good. Oh, my God, I'm driving right now. Oh, shoot, that guy is blah, blah. Anyways, I just want to let you know. Oh, what was I saying? Oh, I told her. I said, girl, please get to the point. I do not have that time. I can't sit there. I'm sorry. That honestly, oh my God, no, I can't.
Yeah, it's the same with my
cousins. I would rather get on a call.
My cousins are like, hola, primo. A ver, De que era lo que le iba a decir. Ah, verdad. And then they get into it. I'm like, okay, text message, please. And at the same time, when they send me a voice memo, I reply with a text. Then they send me another voice memo. I reply with a text. I avoid voice memo.
So are you trying to set your standard?
I'm trying to tell them, like, hey, text me.
Yeah.
Don't voice memo me. And it's
I wonder if it's an age thing.
No, I think it's a...
No, you guys don't think?
It's a regional thing. I think it's more regional.
Okay.
I don't think so because, like, in Mexico, not, like, people my age, usually they do voice memos, but not as much. But the people that do it most are, like, the older people. Like, my mom.
That's so
Oh,
true,
my God.
Though.
It's
you're
like,
so
mom, right. Please, like, you're just sending, like, ah, sí, nos vemos al rato. Why can't you just say, ah, sí, nos vemos al rato through text? Like, why would you just send, like.
That's so, yeah, no, you guys are right.
I think their typing is too slow, and so they feel like it's better to just voice it.
That's true. Wow. My dad is like that too. He'll like, it will be literally a 5-second voice memo. I'll be like, hi, pa, good morning, bendición. He'll be like, hi. Good morning.
Yes, that's what? That's so funny.
It. Just 5 seconds. I'm like, you actually could have typed this.
Oh my
god. But every time he loves sending a voice memo.
No, but I'm shocked by the 5 minute guys. 7 minutes. I can't believe it.
All right.
You love that friend.
Let's pull this topic a bit back, right? Yeah. So overall, we've been having discussions about making friends online, in person, physically, you know, spiritually. In your case with your little church group. But overall, a lot of people have been experiencing difficulty making friends. I personally don't have a lot of friends, but I've never found the need to make friends.
That's the thing, because you don't
like,
care.
I feel like some people yearn for it. They're like, oh, I need friends. I feel like I'm drowning in my thoughts. I need to go and vent with somebody, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of people do say that it's embarrassing to admit that they want friends.
Oh, I get it.
So why does making friends as an adult feel uncomfortable or even embarrassing to admit?
To me, it is embarrassing. Like, I say it to you guys, but I would never say it, like, I don't know, other people that I'm not very comfortable with. I think it almost feels like it has that same feeling of, like, when you invite people to, like, your party and nobody shows up. Sort of like that, like, damn, like, you feel pity for yourself.
You think?
I think. That's how I feel. I mean, I don't know you guys.
I kind of feel that way when I go to a party and, like, that person who threw the party has a bunch of people there. Let's say,
that's
like,
how
the,
it is,
like,
though.
This party has 40 people. And I'm like, if I threw a party, I don't know who the hell I would invite. Like, I don't even think that many people would show up. Like, how do they have all these people on speed dial just ready? Just on ready to come in at any moment to just share time.
I do think friendships are enriching, and I believe they say that people that live longer have good communities, and like, it's a part of being a human.
I've always heard of the old man hermit out in the field who lives to 120 and is like just alone.
Okay, there's also that one.
No. What do you guys think? Admitting that you want friends, why is it embarrassing? What are your guys' thoughts? Angela, do you have anything, Franceli? No.
I think it's just like very vulnerable to admit. Just because like it's just quality time. Like you just want to be around like other people that share the same interests. But it is really hard. Cause it's just like, it like just being like, hey, hey, I really want to hang out with you. Like it feels like a little like desperate.
It sometimes. Does.
Like it does. It can feel like a humiliation ritual to do it. Like, why would you put me through this? I don't deserve this. But then
that's a perfect explanation.
Like, but then I'll go to like a community event and like I'll just talk to a bunch of people, maybe get like a few Instagrams. Maybe I didn't even like make any like actual friends or anything, but I'll like leave that. I'm like, wow, that actually wasn't so bad. That was amazing. No,
I think you nailed it. It is almost like a humiliation ritual. And it is easier to go to places where it's like everybody's gonna meet, like a community versus actually reaching out to a friend. Interesting.
My dad makes friends easier than I do. It's he's very
he's older.
Yeah, but okay.
Like that was how it was before.
But
right
my dad drinks a lot, like at parties, and so they all get around like where they all drink, and then my dad drops like jokes or whatever, and then everybody thinks he's like all funny and whatever. And then I'm just kind of off to the side, like, oh, you know, like I don't know.
Maybe we just have to drink.
No way.
That wait, can I tell you something? Solution. Wait, this is an interesting one. My professional selling program professor said, this was one of the best classes I ever took at UCF, the most like life-changing. Mm-hmm. He said, if you ever go to an event and they offer you a drink, always take it.
Yeah.
Take a sip, but don't reject it.
And he also said, don't finish it.
Don't finish it. But that has stuck with me because I just, it doesn't feel like me, but I also get it because I've been on the other end where you're at a party and people who receive things from you or who are participating, you tend to like them a little bit better at the party.
Maybe.
Because it's just, you're making it easy for me. It's like, oh, do you want this drink? What do you want? Cool. Awesome. I know you're having a good time. I check that off. Let's go to the next person.
Latin parties are hard though, because especially in Colombian parties, because they pass the aguardiente around all the time. Oh yeah,
hell no.
And I have to constantly reject. And it's like, no.
And you look like a loser.
No, I look like a dumbass. Just saying no all the time.
That's so real. Yeah.
But anyways.
Damn.
Worldwide, there's this thing going on. It's a loneliness epidemic. Just overall, people are finding it very difficult to connect, to meet, even though we're all like in this digital world where it should be easier to meet others. Japan is experiencing a heavy, heavy loneliness moment right now. But it seems like it's mostly on either the extremely old, widowed. It's hard for them to make friends once, their partner passes and they don't tend to go out. They stay home.
That's super sad.
Are also kind of like the sheltered type of people that stay home, don't go out, chronically online.
But let's be honest, for you to make friends, you really have to put in effort. Because we're talking, let's say you have a typical 9-to-5. You go to work. Now you're telling me I have to have energy to go out or do something.
Mm.
That could be a lot on somebody who is introverted or doesn't have the energy or capacity for it. It just takes effort. I guess that's what it comes down to. It's really as simple as that, to make friends. You just have to...
Have you felt lonely recently?
No, I haven't. Because I fill my time with things that fill me. So like yesterday, it was the most iconic day for me.
And you're alone.
And I was alone. In my PJs, reading, writing, watching YouTube.
Maybe loneliness is a state of mind of overthinking. Just like we were saying, it's not that deep or whatever. Maybe it's thinking a little bit like... out of body, existential kind of.
I don't know. I mean, I know I've felt lonely before. I know what that feels
totally,
like.
Totally, yeah.
You know? Maybe it's a comparison loop. You go online and you see people. Like, let's say I was happy. I didn't go online yesterday as much. I just watched YouTube. And to me, YouTube is like a healthy form of media.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't put me in a bad headspace. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So let's say yesterday I had done the same thing I did, read, write, watch YouTube. But then all of a sudden I started scrolling on Instagram and I was seeing people with friends hanging out, doing brunch on a Sunday. Maybe there would be an element of me where all of a sudden I would start comparing myself and saying, why the heck am I not? What am I doing here? Like, why am I not out looking glam? Why am I in my PJs? Maybe it's just social media creates these, we create a narrative that we should be doing more or whatever.
So prior to starting the podcast, we actually were starting to have a conversation about traveling in Europe. And we were talking about our business trip to Ibiza,
Madrid.
What's the name of the company that invited us? I'm sorry.
Intelligent Change. Mm-hmm. The creators of the 5-Minute Journal.
Yeah. So I had a really great time in Madrid, and there's a lot of public parks in Madrid where you can like go. It reminds me a lot of Colombia. Like in Colombia, we all have like El Parque and everybody goes and walks. And usually there's like a church at the park and then there's like a lot of food around it.
Third spaces, what they call now.
Yes. A lot of third spaces in Europe and Latin America or whatever.
That's so true.
But you're surrounded by noise and people of all ages. And then there's like obviously cars and food and whatever, but you are surrounded.
It's so lively.
Yeah.
You feel accompanied even when you're alone.
And I truly believe that the U.S. lacks that.
100%. Like,
a lot of like up north, like New York, Boston area, Connecticut have it, but it's not like the same.
Florida definitely lacks it. If you're here in the suburbs.
Yes, it's very like you need a drive everywhere. There's not like a walkable place. And even here, like in our community, for example, there's not like a central meeting hub group where everybody kind of like goes and meets up.
I feel like the similarest thing to that would be the gym.
Yes.
That would be like the kinda closest, but even then you're paying. It's not even like free.
Yeah.
Like you can't get in if you don't pay.
You brought up a really good point. A third space. Third spaces in general have become really popular this year. Obviously moving into next year, it seems like it's also becoming popular.
You know what I didn't realize? Starbucks is considered a third space.
Was considered.
Was. What do you mean was?
They've kind of changed a little bit of like their policies.
Well, oh, okay. Yeah.
Like how long you're going to be there, laptops and all these things.
In business, they're considered a third space. Mm-hmm. But to me, I thought a third space was a place that was free and that
you don't have to buy anything at Starbucks, I don't think. I believe you can just walk in and work. Mm-hmm. It just kind of feels odd to not buy a coffee.
To stock a table and not get anything.
I actually think that they changed that.
Okay.
At like the beginning of the year. Because I remember that my brother was really annoyed because that's where he would go to study. But now I think you have to like buy something. Even if it's just like, I don't know if you can get a water and stay there or if you have to buy like a croissant or something.
Cake pop.
Yeah.
Get a cake pop.
Yeah. But now like I know a lot of people in like New York or in like in like big cities were really mad because those are like areas that they can stay in like while they're waiting like for their stops. But yeah, no, now you have to kind of pay.
there's always differences in things. I mean, in Europe, they don't get free water. Like you cannot get water at these places.
That was shocking for us.
Also Starbucks had always been known for having like open public bathrooms. That changed this year. Like that's not normal anymore. The third space is kind of closing in and it's becoming harder to find free things to do. And everything's like spend to do this, spend to do that. Oh, you want to meet someone in network? Oh, go to Equinox. Literally. Oh, now you got to go do this. Oh, it's so expensive. Look at this, right? Everything you gotta pay. So you kind of have to pay for friendships.
Damn, that's an interesting way of putting it.
Right, but in Europe, going back to Europe, I feel like these public parks were just so nice. Everybody's kind of like strolling by. Everybody's kind of like together. It feels more like community. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're in this together. New York is in this, in a sense, kind of the same way. But I also feel like too many people are on their headphones. Like isn't looking down too? Headphones, yeah. So in like their own life, like get out of my way. The New York minute going fast. Like everybody's business.
This is so random, money. But I was just thinking about how for a split second, I feel like I missed out on living in New York.
Why?
For a split second. I don't know. Cause New York is fun. It's a vibe. There's energy. Damn.
I'll expand upon that.
No, I don't know. I just felt sad for a second because I look at my future and my future probably is having kids.
Okay.
I'm not going to go like there's no way I can do that now.
What do you mean? Why?
Why? Because we can't just pick up and do that. We did that for LA and that was a lot. And I think we even told ourselves it was sort of it wasn't a mistake, but we shouldn't have done that.
I'm not closing the door on any possibility ever and saying it's not going to happen. Well, okay, there's
a lot
of people.
You would not move to New York.
No, it's not about moving. I've always been the type to say that being bi-coastal or having multiple living situations or places is within capability.
If you can do that, that's pretty expensive.
Yeah, but everybody has a different situation. Like, let's say there's actors who live in LA or have a house in New York and like it obviously depends and it has a lot to do with your income.
I'm talking about us right now. Like we wouldn't be able to do
but
that.
But you've talked about living in Colombia part-time and living here. And then what about Colombia would make you want to live there part-time?
I feel that we're very lucky that we got both perspectives of what hustle and family and everything looks like. I think I grew up way too Americanized in the way that when I go to Colombia, I just feel like family matters and I feel that time off matters and it's a different vibe. Mm-hmm. Now, I do wonder if it's just because every time we go, it's vacation, right?
100%.
But setting that aside, the culture is just different. So when we go, I don't know. I feel like we would live a little more full there. And it's not even like monetary wise because things are cheaper there. It's because I feel that, let's go to...
It's too laid back. There's a thing about Colombia that people say that there's a bit of laziness. I don't know if you've heard of that. But it's like,
but is it laziness or is it what we were discussing? It's when we were in Europe, people are sort of just chilling for a little bit, having conversations, you know. I do think there's creativity and work that also can come out of that stuff. If you're always like this, I don't think that's healthy.
I know in the other podcast we were talking about hustle culture and how it can be unhealthy, mm-hmm. and how it's not good. I do feel, well, I mean, there's people who are probably working really hard everywhere, and even in Colombia or here, just constantly working, mm-hmm. and maybe they don't have friends and they're there. And we're like, we're from the outside looking in being like, oh, it looks so easy to make friends in these countries, and they're there not making any friends. Obviously Japan's going through the same situation. There's a lot of people who don't have friends.
Maybe we always want what we can't have. I don't know. A part of me really does want to move to Colombia for some time.
The grass is greener.
You should.
Yeah. How we have to talk about this, Francely, how we can make it work. Francely, if you can be bi-coastal too.
Imagine. but anyways, making friends in this digital era, you know, going places, third places. It's a whole thing now. And a lot of people are experiencing and having like trouble with it. And then other people are kind of thriving at the same time. I feel like there's definitely those people who are magnetic and attract a lot of friends.
Oh, but 100%.
One of the questions that I had here was,
I can think of somebody.
And I can still see someone like that who is still potentially lonely, mm-hmm. right? Who has a lot of friends and is lonely. One of the questions I had is loneliness a lack of friends or a lack of the right friends? And what I mean by that is...
Could be both.
How?
is loneliness a lack of friends or a lack of the right friends? It could be mm-hmm. both. How? Because if you don't have the right friends, you don't feel seen, you don't feel heard, you feel a little bit like an outsider. And then when you don't have friends, you also just feel like you're in your own bubble. It's your own little ecosystem. That can sometimes feel a bit loud if you're constantly thinking, you know? Sometimes it's nice to bounce ideas off of somebody. Mm. For example, I have an aunt that used to be married, has been alone for a very long time, and mm-hmm. says that sometimes all she wants is just somebody to be able to be like, hey, what do you want for dinner? That sometimes that small decision is so overwhelming for her because you have nobody, like, who cares, you know?
That sounds genuinely lonely.
Yes. Yeah. That is loneliness. Yep.
Like for some sort of feedback mm-hmm. from like anything.
Yeah. It's like, oh gosh, it really is all on me today.
I kind of felt like that when I became an adult and had responsibilities, though. Like, no one's going to do anything for you.
But your parents will, luckily, you still have your parents. Your parents will get you out of whatever hole right now. Not financially, but, you know, they're not going to let you just throw your life away, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. If you're in the dumps or something happens to you, your mom will show up with food. She'll take care of the house. You have a support system.
I have thought about life without them.
Ugh, I don't want to think about that.
And like,
especially now, I feel like now I value our parents so much more. They help us with everything.
Yeah. I think true loneliness is when you have no one. Or maybe it's a psychological thing where you feel like you have no one.
No, but I think you feel like, my mom would always say when her mom passed that it felt like when she would still call her.
Uh-huh.
And then remember that nobody's there.
I think you can't really experience true loneliness until you know that no one's like looking out or thinking of you.
I think losing your parents is probably true loneliness. If you have a relationship with them, that will be the time that I will really feel it. Cause like, who in the world really cares about you?
Yeah.
If you've had that good relationship with mm-hmm. them, other than a spouse or I don't know. I just think it's a different sort of relationship.
I think everybody's too busy thinking about their own lives to care about like anyone else.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I'm saying there's only a few friends yeah. like Jennifer, people that yeah. really show up and give more than what they should or need to. That was just a little bit. She's done so much more for me. But you know what I mean? Like, those are the kind of friends that it's like, wow, like you're one of a kind. How do you, but it's just in her. It's easy for her.
Offline Humans was so kind to give our intern Angela a new product.
Ooh, yes. Girl.
It's the sticker notebook
the
in
perfect
pink.
Size.
Beautiful. Ah, look at that. amazing.
And you can actually take out stickers. I love how you put stickers on your pen. You could take out stickers and put them back in, so you never have sticker anxiety ever again.
Yes, those are the two sticker sheets. You guys can put some stickers in there and then move them to another notebook or from one page to the other.
This is your everything notebook.
Yes.
She's small.
She comes in different colors.
Angela modeling it. Thank you. But anyways, we're moving into our next topic. Today's question is, what's a hobby people act superior for having that isn't even that deep?
I have no idea.
I mean, for personal experience, for me, it tends to be hobbies that kind of are a bit expensive. I feel like expensive hobbies tend to attract snobby people. In my, like I said, perspective. So for example, obviously we're running a podcast right now. I did a lot of research into headphones, microphones. There's a whole audio world out there, right? And so people that are super into audio microphones, headphones are called audiophiles, right? That's like a term for that type of person. And so obviously there's like subreddits for all these people who are like into these things. And man, audiophiles are gatekeepers. They don't like sharing what microphones they use. They're not very helpful.
Why?
Lots of times they're DJs and like don't like sharing how they came up with like a particular sound or whatever.
Okay.
It's just like very protective community of like their thing. For example, they all like hated Beats headphones for a long time, and they were like, oh, Beats are so corny. The headphones that Angela is actually wearing, if you show her, they love those headphones. Oh. So those were the Audio Technica MX50s, I think. The ones that Prancelli has, a lot of people also like. The ones that you have, they like. But it takes a lot of research to become a part of the audiophile community. And they are the pickiest. Like, they probably wouldn't like what this podcast sounds like because they're all about wires and learning and all these things.
Okay.
But yeah, it's
I've never heard of that one.
They go super deep into these kinds of things. And like, if you know, they're like, ah, snobby, whatever.
That's so interesting.
Francelli had a great one that we talked about before.
What was it?
Francelli, you want to tell them who you think is a little bit snobby or act superior?
The people that are into movies.
Movies.
Yeah. Well, I studied film when I was in college, so there was a lot of snobby people there, especially men that are not only men that are into movies and all that. They feel that they are movie critics, but more like people that actually do films. I think both people that watches films and that's their hobby, and also people that does films like. Makes films for hobby, yeah, they're super snobby.
I think you're kind of accurate. I do remember, I want to say this was our old editor, who his one question, because when we had a podcast, his one question to people were like, what is your favorite film?
Oh my God, yes.
And based off of that, he would hard judge them after. Yes. He'd be like, I can't believe they said that. That's ridiculous. His favorite film was The Odyssey. Odyssey.
Really?
Yeah, that was his favorite film. And I remember you were like, what the heck? Like, why? And he would explain and like all this stuff. But
yeah,
that's actually, I could relate to that. I do remember. So then I guess, is it that they become judgy? Is that what this sort of falls back on?
I think they're so enveloped in that area, in that hobby, in that particular thing that like they like the question that he asked, like it mattered so much to him. What you would say to that. What is your favorite film? Like if I said Fight Club, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't say anything. Most guys that's the straight up answer that most people say, oh, Fight Club's okay. Well, what about it do you like?
And but is then, it just that the person's passionate then?
I think yes. Overly passionate, but also defensive about the hobby. I don't know. I think about like directors and cinema snobs as like, they got a beret and they got a scarf on and they're drinking wine. And they go to like some film festival somewhere. And then,
that's too stereotypical. That's not.
No, that is how it is.
I'm low-key kind of like that. Like, cause I was in that environment. So I love like watching good movies, but I also love rom-coms. So I keep it a balance, but like, I love movie festivals. Like I love doing that kind of stuff. And yeah, sometimes those stereotypes are real. Not all of them, but they are like the way they dress. They're like super. I don't remember exactly the word, but there's like something that was really popular on TikTok that is like guys that
are performative,
yeah,
readers,
yeah. And they like matcha and stuff like that. It just came to my mind.
I was thinking about that. Huh, interesting. Performative readers. But what if the poor guy does like a tote bag, a good matcha, and to read out in public? That's so silly.
I mean, they fit the mold, but yeah. I feel like a lot of people,
so it's just stereotypes,
force themselves to fit the mold.
Okay, I think I just thought of one. I don't know if this is a hobby, but I do. It would always irk me when people would come to school and be like, oh my God, I got so drunk.
Getting drunk as a hobby. Oh,
and but it was something that they needed to like let you know. Like they got so hammered. They got so drunk.
Okay.
And I don't know why that always sort of rubbed me the wrong way, because I was like, I don't get it. Is this a competition or something?
I used to know this guy who would consistently say, I only drink IPAs.
What is that?
An IPA is like this, like a little higher quality beer.
Oh.
And so he's like, oh, everybody would be like, I'm drinking Heineken, I'm drinking Corona. He's like, no, I had this IPA. And but he made it a point. He wanted people to know. And he believed that by saying that, he was like of like a higher, you know, quality. Yeah. And standing.
Okay, I'm not going to lie then. I think sometimes this is you and I. Mm-hmm. When we go to like family reunions and let's say they want to overfeed us and we're like, no, we don't have sugar or something. And then people are like, what the fuck?
You think?
No, yeah, I think it does make us like that. No, you're I think not it does. It makes us like a health conscious person. No. That's so annoying.
Okay. I wanted to say another one, but I'm not sure if it is, because I would be part of it. Okay. The girls that are super into like zodiac signs, because I'm like the kind of girl that would ask everyone their zodiac sign. That's my first thing that I would ask you.
And then I
make an assumption of you based on what you said.
Oh, yes, that is a really, really good one, I think.
But is that some people make it into a hobby.
It is a hobby.
Yeah.
It is to read them and be like, oh, and who are you dating?
They take out the cards and they start doing all that like deep stuff.
Let me tell you. I mean, I don't think that one is like I find that kind of silly, and I'm okay when people do that.
Yeah.
But it is pretty funny.
And all the like rising and like your planets aligning and all these things. So there is a list of things of hobbies that people say are.
Reading. Yes. I see that one. So that's the interesting one.
Meditation. Right. So apparently a lot of people who are into meditating have this superiority complex.
Okay, but pause. See, this is what I don't understand with this question. Mm-hmm. What is it about them that makes them feel superior? Because all of these things are things that just make people better.
That is true. But
so is it just in the person that feels offended by that person?
No, someone can be into meditating. I can read this whole list and it can be full of very friendly, nice people. But there's a select few in each of these categories that kind of have like an air of arrogance, right? They just feel like, oh, because I meditate and I'm so into this, like I'm better than you.
I see CrossFit.
So yes, CrossFit is in there too. So it's meditation, photography, audiophiles, like I had mentioned. Some people that are into music can be a little bit, you know, ooh, they can be like, what's your favorite song? Oh, I like Pink Floyd.
I like
this and that, Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah. Or you know what the worst one is? I remember when people would like, what was it, PacSun, or they had those graphic tees.
Yeah.
And then they would call out girls and be like, what's the band? I bet you don't even know the band. It's like, it's fashion. Let me. Like, what? That is annoying, I have to say. I don't like people that make others look bad.
Yeah. Like, if you're wearing a Sublime shirt that you bought at PacSun and they went up to you and said, okay, name me 5 songs from their recent album.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be annoying.
That is funny.
Yeah, CrossFit, reading. Reading can be definitely annoying. The comment said, I love it and it brings me tremendous joy as well as knowledge, but people can be entirely too snobby about reading.
I agree. You know what I think recently? I think me and Francelli were talking about this because I feel rom-coms have become very popular. Rom-coms?
Mm-hmm. Again?
That's a genre, right? I just forgot about it.
Yeah,
like
I
love.
Think it is, yeah.
And so romance. I've seen the argument a lot where people are saying that people should be reading other things other than rom-coms. Like, don't just get stuck in that world. Like, read novels, read classics. And it's like, just let the girls read what they want to read.
Going a little bit into that.
But it is an interesting argument.
Groups and communities can become snobby out of nowhere, right? So there was a show, Rick and Morty. It was really popular. And then at some point, the fans kind of got a little aggressive.
Really? How so?
And they kind of ruined the show.
What happened?
Basically, at any point, if you ended up saying I'm a Rick and Morty fan, people are like, oh.
That happened with The Summer I Turned Pretty. Yeah. I mean, even the cast, I think they had to put out announcements. Please don't be mean to these people in real life. Like, these are just actors.
Yeah. So the fans start to get off-putting, you know, because they treat the band or whatever that interest is too deep. And then it becomes their hobby. Their whole life is centered around that thing.
But I think there's something interesting. I like that personally. I feel like it's just passionate people.
You think?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Passion.
Passion.
I think it's different because I'm passionate about a lot of stuff. And for example, I love like the Zodiacs and all that. But like I never feel superior because I know that and they don't. Like I'm not like, oh, I watched these 20 films and you haven't, so I'm better than you. I think that's the issue. When they like it and it's their hobby, like it's not bad unless they feel superior and they're entitled. Like,
yes.
I almost feel like it's an internal issue. If you think somebody is superior, then...
No, they believe that they're superior. You can tell.
But who says that? It's the person judging.
It's the way they treat you.
Yeah. I think you guys were mentioning about the question of like, what's your favorite movie? And then kind of judging based off of that answer. I think with like, cause with audio, it's like audiophiles, but like with movies, it's like cinephiles. A lot of like, you know, like film bros, everything, they take it so seriously that like they will genuinely judge you. Like the same way they'll do it with like Zodiacs, that it's like, oh, well you're a Scorpio, so I don't like you.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I were to say my favorite movie is like Barbie Mermaidia, and they're like, oh. Like,
that one will shock them.
Yeah, like that would shock that's them. Funny. But then they would like they would like
I get it.
Genuinely judge you for it.
No, I get it. Thank you for that's so true. Like you could be if you're all of a sudden rude to somebody too, and that's just
If I said my favorite movie is Sharknado, like, are you gonna judge me?
I am actually gonna judge you.
Okay, so let's end the show with my today I learned, or Dennis's fun fact of the week. So this week's fun fact is the share of boys and girls who say that they meet up with friends almost daily outside of school hours has declined by nearly 50% since the early 1990s. So kids are not really meeting up anymore. They're meeting up online to play games, to do whatever, but play dates kind of coming to an end.
I think moms are happy about that.
You think?
Yeah. One more kid in your house eating groceries, making everything a mess, disturbing the peace. I think some moms are not really. I'm joking, obviously. I think in this community in particular, there's a lot of kids outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think electric bikes and scooters have actually made it easier for kids to get around and meet each other.
There's a part of me that I see, like, let's say I'm walking Jupiter and I see two girls literally on their little scooters talking, having a conversation. I'm like, that could have been me and so-and-so. That creates friendship. I also was seeing a girl and what I think was her boyfriend. And I was thinking about this one boyfriend that I had that his mom had to take us everywhere. And I was like, I wonder if like the relationship would have also been better that way. Mm-hmm. So I think it helps this generation.
I think, it goes along with the whole Florida isn't built for walking kind of thing. Even within this community is very large. And so even if someone lived way on the other side of the community, it would take them like 45 minutes walking to get there.
Exactly.
But you take your e-bike, oh, I'll be there in 5 minutes. You get there. It's like you can hang out. And then like you can be out at later times because you just feel safer. No one's going to stop you on an e-bike.
But you also have to admit.
It expands things.
It's not a normal thing for kids to have e-bikes. That's got to be a lot of money too.
I know.
How much is an e-bike?
At least. $800. It's got to be at least like $800.
That's like a phone then, right?
Yeah, but everybody's got a phone.
That's crazy. So, poor parents.
Yeah, so now parents kind of drop on an e-bike, but at the same time,
they can go on a car.
They can go to school. It opens horizons.
The e-bikes are the most annoying thing, I will say here. I absolutely hate one. Actually, I'm superior as I'm walking with my dog and they zoom through me. I'm like, ugh. Like, I hate it.
It's just dangerous.
It's so dangerous. Here in this
community. They're not slow. They don't honk. They don't use bells.
You can't hear them.
Yeah.
You can't see them. And they expect you to move.
And they go without lights on at night.
The worst.
It is pretty dangerous, though.
Yeah.
But it's nice that they're meeting each other, you know?
at my expense.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to today's episode. Yeah, check us out on Spotify.
Make sure you leave us a rating. That helps a ton. Yes. Share this with a friend. That also helps a ton. And if you are watching it, show us on Instagram. We love tagging you guys, and we'd love to be able to see more of that.
Stay tuned to the release of the sticker notebook. We don't know if at this point, whenever this podcast releases, if it's out, if it's not, it will be available on www.offlinehumans.com. Thank you also to Offline Humans for sponsoring this video. Hey. And that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much.
See you next Friday.
Every Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Bye.